Hey everyone, Eric here. I am the host of the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. Join me for a new episode every Wednesday as I delve into the unseen world with historians, authors, researchers, and investigators as we try to understand and make sense of the paranormal. You can listen to past and future episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or at unseenparanormalpodcast.com. Please like the show on Facebook and share with your friends. And remember, some of the scariest things are unseen.
Welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories. Halloween may be over and you're starting to probably see some Christmas stuff popping up everywhere, but we are still going strong thanks to you listeners. We've picked up a lot of new followers and we appreciate you checking us out. Today, we're going to talk about a place we stumbled onto last summer and had a chance to visit. It's the Old Vans Cleaner in Melbourne, Florida. Alan, do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about the building?
On the corner of Morningside Drive and Hibiscus Boulevard in Melbourne, Florida, you will find a building where locals go to rent or buy bicycles. But as inconspicuous as a local bicycle shop is, the property was a scene of one of the most brutal murders in Melbourne's history. The building was where Hewitt Charles Philip Van Egan, who went by Charles, ran a laundry service called Vans with his mother. Philip served in the Canadian Artillery during World War II, and in 1953, he moved from Ontario to Melbourne to open the business. Philip was married to Phyllis Van Egan, and they had two children, a boy and a girl. However, in 1954, their four-year-old son Roger, he was hit in the head by a swing on a playground, and he died a few hours later. As tough as it was on the family, Philip went to work every day, as did Phyllis, who worked for a local insurance company. She often made trips to nearby cities to collect money from customers.
Things went from bad to worse for the family on December 10th, 1955, when Philip notified the police that his wife and daughter had gone missing. According to him, his wife had taken their daughter with her to nearby Fellsmere the night before to collect money from some of their clients, but she never returned.
That morning, police began looking for Phyllis's red and cream-colored Chevrolet convertible. The car really stood out, and it had actually been used in the high school's homecoming parade a few weeks earlier, and naturally, it didn't take police a long time to find it. It was across the street from a funeral home close to what is now US 1 and Palmetto Avenue. When the authorities approached the vehicle, they found Phyllis's body wrapped in a blanket in the front seat of her car, and her skull had been split in three places. As police inspected the scene, they also noticed blood dripping from the trunk onto the pavement. When they opened the trunk, they found the limp, lifeless body of her 7-year-old daughter, Patricia. Blood found at the cleaners led police to believe Philip had killed his wife and daughter in the building. Blood was discovered on Van Egan's shoes, as well as various parts of the business. A hatchet was found nearby, and an axe head and a dented-up golf club were also discovered on the scene. Philip was taken to City Hall for questioning and held for 10 hours. After 3 hours, he told detectives he would admit that he had done it if that's what they wanted to hear. He even told officers he would testify that he had killed his son, too. Philip ultimately didn't admit to killing little Roger, but it did raise her suspicion, and for good reason. In the next few days, neighbors came forward with different stories that Philip had told them about Roger's death. Philip told some people that Roger had fallen out of a tree, while others were told he was hit by a baseball bat. Despite the inconsistencies and a large amount of evidence, Philip was released from prison after a few days.
When Philip was tried, the trial ended with a hung jury when the jury couldn't agree on a verdict. The bone of contention for the jurors was one eyewitness who claimed to have seen Patricia in the cleaners the night the murder was alleged to have taken place. Another witness claimed that they saw Philip frantically washing his hands and acting suspiciously. When it was retried, Philip was found guilty of second-degree murder and sentenced to 20 years to life in prison. In 1970, he was denied parole. However, 2 years later, he escaped from prison by stealing a prison bus from the minimum security prison he was being held in. Philip managed to elude authorities until the summer of 1980, when he was found living under a slightly different version of his legal name, Charles Philip Hewitt. He had remarried and was living in Sarasota, making ends meet as a construction worker. Although he was sent back to prison, surprisingly enough, Philip was paroled and moved back to Canada. Philip's first wife and daughter were buried in unmarked graves in Melbourne Cemetery. Ironically enough, their burial plots are not but 20 or 30 yards away from where they were killed. In fact, you can see the old man's laundry from their gravesite. Over the years, Philip Van Egan maintained his innocence, and in the late 1990s, he even came to pay his respects to his family and was spotted standing over his family's graves. He quietly left, went back to Canada, and was never seen in Melbourne again.
Due to the tragic deaths on the property and in the building, it's no surprise that many believe that the old Van's Cleaners is haunted. People upstairs have heard footsteps of someone walking around and felt like they weren't alone. Upstairs in the northwest corner of the building is said to be the most active part. Ghost hunters have picked up on EVPs of a woman cursing and using a lot of bad language there. Some of those who went upstairs were even pushed during the investigation. Employees of the bike shop have been inside the building by themselves and heard the music turned up suddenly all the way. One employee I spoke to told me a story about hearing a bicycle bell ring, but it didn't ring as it normally would. Typically, when you press down on the lever, the bell rings twice, but this time it only rang once. The staff member asked another associate if they had heard it, and of course they did. They walked over to see if someone was playing with the bells, and not only was no one in that part of the store, no customers were even at the shop at that time. Since then, the employee told me he's heard the bell mysteriously ring again on a few occasions.
We hope you enjoyed our episode on Van's Cleaners. Check out our website, southernghoststories.com, where you can find old podcasts as well as the books we've written. Feel free to leave a comment or send us a message on our Facebook or Instagram accounts. We'd love to hear about any creepy experiences you may have had. And feel free to give us some ideas on new locations you'd like to hear about on future shows.
And those books Chelsea mentioned are Southern Ghost Stories Historical Hauntings, Haunted Hotels, Ghost of Gallatin, and Murfreesboro, Spirits of Stones River. Be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Those reviews are very helpful, and we appreciate everyone who's taking a few minutes to do it for us. Also, share the show with your friends on Facebook. Please check back with us next time as we head to Birmingham, Alabama, to talk about the Lynn Henley Research Library. On the corner of Morningside Drive and Hibiscus Boulevard in Melbourne, Florida, you'll find a building where locals go to rent or buy bicycles.
Philip and Phyllis.
Do you know what a ghost panda eats for dinner?
What?
Bam. Boo. That's pretty clever, wasn't it?